Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. I'm out west holding it down. Ashburn, Virginia. Commanders back at it. Big game this week. Don't you dare tell Dan Quinn he can rest his starters. DQ, correctly and understandably, really believes that the seeding matters. And if you're just looking on paper at how this is going to work in the NFL, he's right. There's a big difference between going to L.A. or Tampa versus going to play Philly. And I know Washington just beat Philly a couple weeks ago. I'm fully aware of that. Please save your tweets and everything saying how Washington just beat them. Who cares? Clearly Dan Quinn cares, because it also opens the door, however slim that door is, it also opens the door to maybe hosting a playoff game. There is, you know, you look at the AFC playoffs and Chiefs, Bills, Ravens have clearly established themselves as the heavyweights in the AFC. I find it hard to believe that of the other four teams that are going to get in, Texans, Steelers, Chargers, probably the Broncos, although I'm personally rooting for the Bengals. I think the Chargers could give somebody a good game. I think all of those teams are pretty good, but I don't think any of them could touch Chiefs, Bills, Ravens. The NFC, though, man, it's pretty damn wide open. Detroit looks pretty vulnerable. Going to play Minnesota this week. That'll get sorted out. The Eagles can beat anybody, and they're quite beatable. Washington just showed you that, especially whatever's going on with Jalen Hurts. I think he's still in the concussion protocol. Rams, it's just wide open. Right now, the Packers are the 7 seed. I wonder what odds you could get for the Packers to go to the Super Bowl. Like, it wouldn't shock me if the Packers made a deep run in this thing. It is, it's going to be fascinating to watch. I think that's why DQ is really smart in taking this week quite seriously. I mean, not to mention the Cowboys beat them here a couple of weeks ago. And I guess maybe that was like closer to 6 weeks ago. You gotta win this game. Dallas has zero to play for. CeeDee Lamb's been shut down. Go get him. And I like that from DQ. Now, that does not mean to me, like, I wonder if you can get odds on Marcus Mariota pass attempts. Because, frankly, I'd probably take the over. Like, if it's 0.5 Mariota passes, I would take the over. Gearing up and preparing for the week and wanting to take it seriously does not necessarily mean you get to the fourth quarter and this is a two-score game one way or the other that some guys aren't going to hit the bench. But with that said, that's why we're out in Ashburn. We're going to hear from Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt today. You guys will hear all that live here on the B. Mitch and Finley program. I'm also want to say congratulations to Jaden Daniels and to Terry McLaurin making the Pro Bowl selections. Team has announced that. This is no surprise, especially if you kind of been paying attention to the voting. And I've been like tweeting that out and talking about it for a while. But I think it's pretty damn cool that Jaden gets in as a rookie. And for Terry, this is a different year where it's not like he was an alternate or whatever. He's a top five receiver in the NFL, and nobody should be surprised that he gets there. I do, on a personal level, really hope Terry catches a touchdown this week. I think Atlanta kind of sold out to stop Terry last week. And I'd like to see him break this franchise touchdown record, the single-season touchdown receiving record. Right now he's tied with a bunch of dudes at 12, including Ricky Sanders. If he can get one more, he'll break that record. But, dude, I mean, just – I think we're all aware of Jaden's incredible season. Terry right now is – 17th in yards. He's over 1,000 yards on the season. He is probably, I mean, some of the volume catchers in this league are crazy. He has 74 receptions, I believe he's top five in the NFL in touchdowns. Yeah, he's tied for second in touchdowns with Amon-Ra St. Brown. They each have 12. Mike Evans just behind at four. Justin Jefferson just behind at five. First, the season Ja'Marr Chase is putting together, though, is just so damn outrageous. 117 catches, 1,600 yards, 16 touchdowns. Chase is averaging 100 yards a game. It's not going to happen, but we are, like, approaching, especially they add this 18th game, which is only a matter of time before they do that. We're approaching a 2,000-yard wide receiver, which is just going to be so bananas. But it'll be kind of fun to watch. Toby Altizer is here in for B. Mitch. Good morning, Tobo. How do you do?
Not too bad. Can't complain. Had a wild day yesterday, getting up early for New Year's Day, hanging out with Denton for the Junks. So.
Oh, you did the Junkies?
Yeah.
So. How was that?
It was good. It was good hanging out with Denton, talking a little college football, and then all the craziness of yesterday. So we get another college football game today.
So on Tuesday, right? Tuesday was New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
I was not on air. And we had a short show anyway, I think, because the Caps played. God, I just realized how dirty these shoes are. So I was driving to go play golf. I played golf with B that day. We had a lot of fun. And I was listening. It was Denton and Linnell. Were you on New Year's Eve day?
I was not. No, I had the day off.
Okay. Denton and Linnell were having this conversation about Jaden's next contract. And it drove me so crazy that was a discussion point that I texted Landfill. Because I didn't know if Landfill was working. Landini, what did I say? I said something like, these dudes might make me swerve off the road. Because I was just like, what are we doing?
It was not great. You woke me up with that text, by the way. Yeah, you said, are you working today? These dudes are talking about Jaden's contract that he can't sign for 2 years. I think you'd lop your own head off, and you're correct.
It was like, my ride to the golf course was like 10 minutes. That was like 4 minutes, and then they got into regular conversation, and it was all good. But I like almost called in and yelled at them. I was like, what the hell are you two doing?
We didn't have any of that discussion
yesterday. Good.
For the record.
If you're just wondering what Jaden's contract is going to be, they're going to hand his agent a blank piece of paper, and he's going to write down whatever number he wants, and that's the contract.
So true.
Yeah, dude.
So true.
And then Adam Peters will say, thank you.
Right. Can we get you a private jet back to L.A.? Like, whatever you need, pal. I thought that was premature, I would say.
Well, you know.
No, we're not going to do it.
I'm not. I'm just saying this is why these next couple years are going to be exciting, because they're going to go all in while he's still on the rookie contract.
Right. They're going to go all in the whole time.
Absolutely.
When you have a quarterback, like everybody gets so caught up. Like, the amount of fan salary cap-itis. Like, fans are just so obsessed with the cap and, like, oh, the guaranteed money and stuff. Like, sometimes you have a bad deal and it eats you up, like Cleveland and Deshaun Watson. Most of the time, the dudes that are professionals at this, that they've devoted their career to doing this, pretty good at it. They figure it out.
Well,
and when you have a stud, the rest of it doesn't matter, dude.
And these guys are so good at, even when they sign a bad contract, they can maneuver, right? Like the Deshaun Watson deal, they just reworked it so they can figure out some stuff. And so you can make this work however you want. And thankfully, it seems like Washington has one of those dudes that's good at maneuvering these things now, because I don't know that was the case for a while.
We have a packed show coming your way. We're going to check in with the folks in Dallas. Obviously, I know that today is Thursday, correct? Jeff apparently had a lot of trouble with what day of the week it was earlier. Today is Thursday, but we're going to do a Wednesday bit and have Neil Greenberg on. I want to let Greenberg pat himself on the back a little, take a little victory lap, and talk about the bet he put in for the Commanders to get to 11 wins. He deserves that. Joe Witt and Cliff Kingsbury will talk today. Sean Sharif from Dallas will join us. Get a little Cowboys preview, because the Cowboys – their last game, they looked bad, but 2 games ago, they beat Tampa on Sunday Night Football. Like, the Cowboys have not packed it in, and Washington needs to be very aware of that. 1 o'clock, we'll open the phone lines up. 1:30, Peter Rosenberg will join us. There was football yesterday. Listen, the situation in New Orleans is so unfathomably sad. We were there 2-3 weeks ago. That intersection where all this terrible event happened, this terrorist attack, was like a block from the hotel I stayed in. Like, I was right there 2 weeks ago, and it's just so unfathomably sad. And I hate and loathe these people that just will attack random innocent bystanders. Excuse me. And so for that game to get postponed last night in New Orleans was absolutely the right call. They're playing it, what, today at 4 now?
4 o'clock, yeah.
But we did get to see some football yesterday. Good for Arizona State, man. They tried like hell. The refs were completely in on Texas getting through. I mean, I was in the car, so I had like the college sports radio on Sirius, whatever that is. Maybe that's what Denton does, right?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they must have had the ASU call because these dudes were so mad. Like, I don't know who does Arizona State football radio, but when there was the targeting call that wasn't a targeting call, this dude, the color analyst, just started going in on Texas has big money, and that's what this is all about. And I was just like, damn, dog.
What'd you make of that? You saw a replay of that?
I've seen replays of it.
So to me, that is targeting by the rule. I hate that. That's a football play, JP. Like, I hate that you're going to flag. I'm thankful that they didn't call it because you're going to decide the game probably on a targeting foul that's a regular football tackle. Yes, he ends up hitting him in the head, but the guy's ducked down making the catch. Like, I don't know. I'm glad they went that way, but at the same point, by the letter of the law, that should be targeting, which I hate. I mean, it's the same thing we talk about all the time.
I'm not saying you had to throw the kid out of the game, but they should have had a first down.
Maybe, but like it.
And then the spot on what's that guy's name? Scataboo?
Scataboo.
What a name.
No one could tackle that guy. He's unbelievable.
That dude could play for me any day. It's funny, dude, because I have a buddy that's like obsessed with the draft and is always texting me about like who guys that the Commanders could pick. And I've been pretty open to the like, Where do we think Washington ends up picking? 25-ish?
Yeah.
I think.
Somewhere late 20s.
So I think Genty's gone by then, but yeah. I'm not anti-back. Some of these tight ends that are playing right now, obviously the kid at Penn State's a monster. The kid at Texas is really good. Mm-hmm. But I also, I want Ed. If you get Lattimore back and you've got him under contract for 2 years, maybe they have to maneuver some guarantees or whatever. But if you can sort out this hammy thing. Now, this hammy thing has been a problem for a lot more for some time. But if you can sort that out and you add a stud edge rusher, right now they've got some good edge rushers. They're able to manufacture some of that stuff. But, like, Parsons changed Dallas, you know?
Oh,
like,
big time.
Like, if you can get a stud edge rusher with this group, that starts to look pretty exciting. But right now, I just looked it up on Tankathon, Washington would have the 26th pick. That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Just to talk about them that late
crazy.
In the draft. I just, watching the Texas-Arizona State game, it ended up being a fun game. It was kind of weird, kind of boring. Watching Ohio State and Oregon was just an absolute ass-kicking.
It's wild that Jeremiah Smith is a true freshman.
He's 19!
He's 187 yards yesterday, and if he were to go pro, he's probably a top 10 pick. I mean, he is unbelievable how big he is for his age. What is he, 6'3", 220 or something like that? No one could cover him, which I don't know what Oregon was doing because they were busting coverages all game long against him. And it was just wild to see the number one team in the country, which, by the way, they got to reseed this stuff. They got to figure out a better way because the fact that the number one team that went undefeated has to face Ohio State in their first playoff game is a little bit crazy. But regardless, for them to go out there and just dominate that game, when it was a close one when they went to Oregon earlier in the year, they just dominated them early. Also, too,
I mean, it was 31-0 or something, yeah, right? Like, what was the scoring in that?
Well, and it's something to note that all three teams that had the bye week came out rusty.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens tonight with Georgia. But
well, that situation tonight for Georgia and Notre Dame, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what you do there. I mean, that is such a heavy situation.
Absolutely. And you know, how much is that weighing on the players and whatnot? But, like, at least for the three that we've seen so far, the team that had the week off, that had a little extra time to prepare, looked rusty coming out, and I think that's something that we talk about all the time here because, you know, you talk about coming out of the bye week or do you rest players, do you want to be rusty, whatnot, but I think it shows up even more with college kids when they got to get back in their groove, and for some of the teams, it took too long, and now you're in a hole that you can't come back out of. You know, a credit to Arizona State where they came out slow and they were able to get back in the game.
I'd also add, though, that because the seeding is so jacked up, that, like, bad teams got byes. Like, I don't know that Penn State running through Boise is a result of them being rusty. I think it's Boise shouldn't have gotten a bye.
For sure.
You
for
know
sure.
what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, they got to – I think they're close with this playoff, but this ain't it. Like, you can have automatic qualifiers for the conference stuff. That's cool. But they don't – they shouldn't get to be top four.
No, I mean, because, like, you look at – you know, what was it last year NC State went on that magical run in the NCAA tournament or ACC tournament into the NCAA tournament. They weren't automatically a one seed.
Right.
They're still way down in the tournament. Same thing with Virginia Tech a couple of years ago. So just because you are guaranteed a spot doesn't mean you're guaranteed a bye week in one of those top four teams. So I think they've got to make some adjustments.
Good for ASU, though. That does Dillingham, so the Arizona State coach, where's he going? Sorry, Drab.
I don't know. I was talking with Drab. He said he loves it out there, so we'll see.
Of course. You know where I was?
He just signed a contract.
Now, you hold on one damn second, Toby. You know where I was last fall? No, I guess fall of 23, right? This last fall now was 24.
Yeah, where's that?
In the fall of 2023, I got to take in a game at Husky Stadium, Seattle, Washington. Washington played Utah. Michael Penix was dealing. One of the kids had a DeSean Jackson play at the end zone, if you remember that. It was a hell of a game, and this dude couldn't have been cooler or nicer, kind of hosted us. I got to tailgate on a boat. It was wild. And these Husky fans were awesome and so into it, and they've got a really cool, unique thing up there in Seattle, right? And I asked the gentleman, I said, you know, you guys going to be able to hang on to DeBoer? And he's like, oh, yeah, man. He's like, this guy loves it here. Apparently, his daughter had just gotten a scholarship to play softball there. He just got a big extension. This is going to be our guy. This is going to be our guy going forward. And I loved those people on that boat, and they were so polite and charming. And 4 months later, he's at Bama. So, like, none of these dudes, they all love it right until they don't.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it's going to take a Bama-style job to come available for him to go anywhere, right? Like, what you've got right now, you're in a Power 4 conference, so it's not like you're...
It's not the roughest road to be in that Big 12.
No,
either.
Exactly. So, I don't think it's a horrible spot. He's also, what, 34? Which
is
crazy
young.
To think about. So,
but the flip side of that is, if you are Mrs. Dillingham, and we're making $4 million now at ASU... And who would call right now? Florida State? They probably don't have the cash. Florida? The Gators are going to keep Napier around.
Yeah.
Hell, LSU? Like, what if the four that ASU's probably going to bump them up to six now, but Baton Rouge is offering you 12, dude. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's tough to blame these dudes, right? When you get an opportunity like that where you can double,
blame players.
Triple.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a wild world of college sports, but, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't blame him if he went somewhere, but who knows? I don't know what he's making at ASU. It seems like he's happy there, but, I mean, he's 34 years old. It could be something, too, where if he decides to stick around, he could build a powerhouse with the Sun Devils. So who knows?
What do you make of this? Two football teams practiced at ASU this year, the Sun Devils and the Washington Commanders both made the playoffs. ASU had a hell of a run, made it to the second round, if you want to say it that way, because they got a bye. I think this is purely not for my personal gain, Toby. Purely. I think Washington needs to practice in Arizona once a year, 4 or 5 days a year.
Yeah, I'm down with it.
There's obviously So there's some good luck there. There's good vibes from going to the desert.
It is, and
has nothing to do with me playing Silver League.
I tell you what, if that's the case, then maybe I will need to hang out with the team in Arizona or something like that for a week and just see what happens out there while I'm there.
Tonight is packed. The Terps are on late, 9:30. I got to get used to basketball in the pack on the Big Ten West Coast.
Pac-12.
I was about to say. Caps are on tonight. Wiz got a big win last night. Did you watch the Wiz at all?
I did not, no.
Not so I watched because the football game was over, and the, you know, so I watched the Wiz. They kicked the they beat the Bulls up and down the court.
Hey, man, Alex Saar is starting to figure it out a little bit. If you look at his month-by-month splits,
sure.
October wasn't great. November was a little bit better. December was good. And so he's carrying that over into the new year. I'm excited to see. He keeps getting better and better. I mean, regardless of what you think about all the rooks.
His passing has been really good.
He's a good player, man. He's got all the skills. It's just putting it all together.
Yeah. And Poole last night was just on fire. Are the Bulls awful? Was that a back-to-back for them? Did they just not? I mean, their record is still significantly better than the Wiz.
Well, everyone's is.
They're 15-19. Aren't the Pelicans? Are the Wiz? So the Wiz are 6-25. What are the Pelicans? Well, I still am. Uh-oh, Landfill, you're not going to like this. The Wiz are now not the worst record in the NBA.
Yeah, Pelicans 5-29.
I think the Wiz are 6-29.
6-25.
6-25. Oh, boy. We've got some losing to do in the second half here. Let's not forget the big picture here, fellas.